26 members are present. That is a quorum. I will call us to order and ask those who choose to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the February 16th meeting of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Under my report, I would just draw your attention to what finally made it into the packet, which is the County Board work plan, the draft of it, which was on the green sheet of paper, attempting to capture what we know now as agenda items and matters that we need to take care of in the year ahead of us. I would especially encourage committee chairs, but all members, if you have suggested additions or topics, for example, for county board planning meetings, that you bring those to my attention and we can add those. This is a draft and a work in progress, but we wanted to give you a sense of what we know is coming for the next, now, 11 months, I guess it is. Any questions on that document? If not, supervisor conference reports and announcements. I will start by saying that it is a monumental, momentous, some big day in the life of Don Meyer. And it is so important to him that he decided to bring treats. And those cupcakes are out in the conference room or the ante room. So I would encourage, if you haven't already, to partake of those. And I would offer to serenade you in a round of happy birthday, but I think we would all be embarrassed by that. So instead, we will just note that today is Supervisor Meyer's birthday and give him a round of applause instead. I'm only thinking of you, Don, when I don't sing and clap instead. Oh, okay. There's a limit on the cupcakes. Okay. And you're keeping track, I bet, too. We're not asking how old, Supervisor Bina. The number of candles on the cupcakes. Other supervisor conference reports or announcements. Supervisor Benrud.
Thank you. I attended the legislative meeting in Madison, and there were 10 La Crosse County Board members also there. Tara was one of our speakers on policy issues, roundtable discussion. She did an excellent job. She made it a little humorous for us. WCA and County Land Conservation opposes any further cuts to city land and water conservation staffing grants. I met with Mike Hipsch and also an aide of Scott Walker's. No federal highway money available. We have to look at funding from other sources. It was one of the best legislation meetings I've attended. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Benrud. Supervisor Wood.
Thank you. I was one of those 10 people that Arlene mentioned, and I agree with her. It was one of the best, and possibly due to the fact that John B. Koskinen, who spoke to us on economics from the Division, State of Wisconsin Department of Revenue, was the leadoff speaker, and it was a great, great session to have. He had a lot to say in a short amount of time. I also want to compliment WCA because National Groundwater Week is coming up in March, and March 11th through the 17th, and on the back of their program, they talk about water plays a vital role on Earth. Life cannot exist without water, and at the same time, water has many peculiar qualities. So knowing that we've got the mining issues and those kinds of things coming up before the state, respecting our Mother Earth with groundwater is important. And last of all, the interesting thing I heard there was, well, one of the interesting things was, in terms of the mining bill that is coming, it was the thought of two former legislators that the mine being proposed right now, there's a good possibility that that mine actually will not happen because of the Native American ability to veto it up north. But that the legislation is important because basically it's setting the state up for all the other mines that may come after. So that is one issue to keep track of. And I noticed that Speaker Fitzgerald did cancel the public hearings in Platteville and some other place on that issue, which I thought was unfortunate.
Thank you, Supervisor Wood. Supervisor Pedretti.
Okay. If you would look at your packet at the end of the sign ordinance, the last two pages, please. It's the yellow, the first section of yellow, the last two pages, item 2-3. There's a Sustainable Lacrosse Commission policy paper that was included in your packet. You're going to start to see these a little more often. The Sustainable Lacrosse Commission will be issuing policy papers on some different avenues, but this one is on the sign regulation. And in it, kind of some findings and then also then some recommendations. And I think that this goes with our legislation. We tried, obviously, in our regulation to regulate fairly, but one of the issues certainly is that we call ourselves an ecumunicipality, and what does that mean? And I think this paper is a nice explanation of how that affects what it is we regulate and how we regulate. So I appreciate your attention to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Pedretti. Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to call the attention of the supervisors to the medical examiner's annual report that's in your packet. We, at the Judiciary and Law Committee, had a report from the medical examiner, asked that it be included, and as a result, there's some interesting things that we may discuss in some following meetings. Second thing that's on your desk is a transition from jail to community initiative. I've talked about this initiative before, and it's green, and it is the final report from the Urban Institute and the National Institute of Corrections. They did their site visit last Thursday and Friday, and I'd like you to read through it because it talks about the accomplishments of La Crosse County and compliments La Crosse County on the leadership within the criminal justice system and how well they work together. And I think part of this is the facility that allows greater cooperation among those different groups, but also they talk about the staffing. And I tell you that, once again, these are public workers who do an excellent job, and an excellent job for us, and have gone above and beyond related to trying to reduce repeat offenders, which is what this initiative is designed around. You can read through it on your own, the progress and the accomplishments. Supervisor Friedland was there as well, and if she has any comments, they complimented La Crosse County on the fact that they would put them in the top 5% of jails throughout the United States in their effectiveness and the way that they manage the criminal justice system. And even higher than that, if they just took jails of the size of La Crosse County. They have been very complimentary about the facility and the programs and the way that the core team, you see the core team there, the five Jane Claycamp, Doris Daggett, Mike Kiefer. Jane is the manager of the Chemical Health and Justice Sanctions, and Doris is the jail administrator, Captain Daggett, and Mike Kiefer is the program coordinator, and Mary Kay Wolf is the community. That Veronica Burke there is me. That's my actual real name that they've used. So I should have said that was incorrect grammar there. What was that? Okay. Supervisor Friedland, did you have anything that you wanted to?
Well, I'll just add that they were particularly complimentary of the fact that so many community groups participated in this, both agencies that do this kind of work as well as volunteer community groups, such as the Circles of Support group that they thought was really unusual nationwide, and they were very excited to have all these different community groups working well together.
And I participated. It was over a 2.5-year initiative, and I participated along the way, and really at the end it came together with the community. I was very pleased with that. So if you get a chance to read through that, if you have any questions, you could just give me a call, but I was very proud of the public workers that we have that made that made some significant strides in this area. And the third thing is again about public workers and the quality that we have here in La Crosse County, and I believe throughout the state, but in La Crosse County, last week, La Crosse County Sheriff's Deputy was cited and honored with a heroism award from the Wisconsin Sheriffs and Deputy Sheriffs Association. And that is John Williams. He's a 15-year veteran of the department, and last summer he helped pull a drunken swimmer from the river, you know, at much risk to himself. And so he was given this, given the award for heroism at last week. That was in the meeting in the Dells of the Wisconsin Sheriffs and Deputy Sheriffs Association. So thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Brooke, and thank you especially for your leadership on that transition from jail to community initiative. It's well above and beyond the call of duty. Thank you very much. Any other supervisors with announcements or reports? I would note, I would like to acknowledge Supervisor Sharon Hampson, who tomorrow morning will present herself as a candidate for the Wisconsin Counties Association Board of Directors, and in particular to fill a spot, a vacancy for the NACO director from WCA. She will be driving to Wausau in the morning to hopefully garner enough votes to make her the new WCA NACO rep, so good luck with that. Supervisor Benard.
Thank you. I would like to say something regarding Jerry Sobranek. I was just out to see him. He was taken by ambulance to St. Francis Hospital last Friday. He had a cold which infected his lungs. He has a lung disease called COPD, which stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Also, his left lung was closed, and they're trying to get that open. He's at Mayo St. Francis in room 941 and in good spirits and has not lost his sense of humor. He enjoys the phone calls and visits from county board members, especially the county chair, for the many visits and kindness she has given him. Jerry says, if you want a one-on-one conversation with the chair, this is how you do it. That means you go to the hospital and call her. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Benrud. Administrative report, Mr. O'Malley.
Yes, because of the WCA conference, we moved the we canceled our monthly planning meeting, and that's when we usually do our proclamation, so we carried this one over. It's an important proclamation, February 2012, our public health month. Whereas the mission of the La Crosse County Health Department is to protect, promote, and improve the health of all people in the county, and whereas the health department is made up of about 80 full and part-time staff representing 17 different professions that have been successful in meeting this mission as measured by the increase in length of life of county residents and other indicators, and whereas the staff of the La Crosse County Health Department assists county residents through the delivery of 30 public health programs in 7 different service areas, including environmental health, health education, home health nursing, laboratory, nutrition, public health nursing, vector control. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of February as Public Health Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of health department staff dedicated to helping everyone in the county of La Crosse live longer and more productive lives.
Motion by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller to approve the proclamation. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved unanimously.
And, Madam Chair, I have one more item that's related. On each of your desks, Supervisors, is a news release from our health department. As you know, we're striving to significantly improve the health and become the healthiest county in the state and the nation over time. One of the initiatives is the biggest health challenge in La Crosse. For where everyone everyone, wherever you're at in relation to exercise and healthy nutrition, there's a process and a system that you can tie into and get assistance over the next 8 weeks. There's a website to go to, advice, initiatives, discounts on fitness locations, nutrition advice, all kinds of resources that you or citizens in your district, if you want to pass any of this information on. Again, it's just one more example of the types of things that our health department provides, and coincidentally, this starts on Monday. So if you're interested in joining the improvement in health that our department leads, this is one example that you or your significant others and family members can take advantage of. So thank you very much.
Is that it for you, Mr. O'Malley?
Yes.
Just note that cards and correspondence are on the back bulletin board for your review. And normally we don't have meetings during recess. I'm not sure that we will need one tonight. I would just remind supervisors that depending on what happens with agenda item 2-3, that the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee may in fact need to meet in recess to consider an extension of the moratorium. So just a heads up on that. Consent agenda. A motion by Supervisor Plesha, seconded by Supervisor Wood, to approve the consent agenda. Discussion on that. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The consent agenda is approved. Planning, Resources, and Development Committee, Supervisor Don Meyer.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. We have item 2-3, second consideration of ordinance 94 to create Chapter 33 entitled Regulation of Outdoor Advertising and of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I'd like to move for your approval and hold this floor.
The ordinance is on the floor, moved by Supervisor Meyer, seconded by Supervisor Pedretti. Did you want to keep the floor, Supervisor Meyer?
Yes. I just thought I'd bring you a little bit of a sequence of how this thing all happened. The committee and the staff all worked very hard and long on this. Is the microphone on?
No.
Okay. To get the work done. But we shouldn't forget Maureen Friedland. She attended so many meetings that we're going to make her an honorary member of PRD, non-voting, and I'd ask Sharon Hampton to take care of that since she's in charge of the committee meeting. The committee's you're not. So tonight we're here to, the supervisors are here to vote on this ordinance, and I should first say that the first piece of information I ever saw on this was an email dated March 11th, 2011. And was concerned about, from a citizen, concerned about the sign situation in La Crosse. Interesting enough, the email did not go to any supervisors on the PRD committee, which I've never understood, but that's what happened. Joe Billings actually forwarded to me, so I knew kind of what was happening. In April, supporters of the improved sign ordinance appeared at the PRD committee and stated their reasons as to why they were there. I went on vacation, but I was know about it. In May of 2011, the county board approved a six-month moratorium on the putting up signs in the county, and that was extended and is supposed to expire here this month. Hopefully, we won't have to deal with that. In July, Maureen's version was given to version of the ordinance was given to Dave Lang, so he could put the county's ordinance in a form that we could review at the PRD committee. From July to now, we have met numerous times with Maureen, Dan Ferris, who represented the sign companies, and the sign companies, and we've had a lot of public comment on that. And also a public hearing. Our goal was to craft an ordinance that would be acceptable to everybody involved. I'm not sure that it's exactly acceptable to everybody, but I think it's one that we can live with for a while. We all know that the ordinance may be tweaked in some way, shape, or manner in the future, and the PRD committee will be open to hear those discussions or comments anytime. Just let us know when you want to get on there. So that's why we're here tonight, is to vote on it. We have, from the PRD committee, one amendment, which I'd like to have Marilyn Peretti read, that should be made on the ordinance before we vote on it. Marilyn?
Supervisor Pedretti.
I would like to make a motion to amend. I pulled out the wrong one. Sorry. Amend section 33.07, paren 2, paren B, to read as follows.
Could you say that again slowly?
It's in your packet near the end of the yellow section. It is to amend section 33.07, paren 2, paren B, to read as follows. Projecting signs fastened to, suspended from, or supported by structures shall not exceed 100 square feet in area for any one parcel, shall not exceed in height of 20 feet from above the centerline street grade, shall not be more than 20 feet and not be less than 15 feet above a driveway. If the sign is only above a sidewalk, it shall not be more than 15 feet and not less than 10 feet from the ground. Projecting signs shall not extend above the roof line. As soon as I get a second,
is there a second to that? And then seconded by Supervisor Manti. Back and to just Supervisor Pedretti.
Quick explanation is that it was brought to our attention that some of the sidewalks where these signs might be placed, there might be some difficulty with delivery trucks or such coming in and out. And so this was at the request of the sign companies, and we had the discussion. There didn't seem to be, there was no opposition. It was passed unanimously in committee. I think this is just another one of those cleanups.
Discussion on the amendment was in your packet. Last Supervisor Mock.
I wanted to say that if you're wondering, this that she just read is right after the end of the ordinance. After page 14, but the thing that's been changed, 33072B, is found on page 11 of the ordinance. So you can compare the differences if you choose to.
Thank you.
I also would like to say something else. I think this amendment is an example of how our Planning Resources and Development Committee has worked. We have listened to suggestions of how the ordinance can be changed all through these months. And sign companies have brought us ideas. A lot of people, the community people, have brought us ideas. We have attempted to compromise and work together. And I'm hoping that this county board will support this ordinance tonight, because hours of labor have gone into this. The staff has worked so hard making all these changes and rewriting these ordinances. And I think it behooves this group to support this ordinance tonight.
Other discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is approved unanimously. Now discussion on the amended ordinance. Supervisor Manti.
Just a real quick word. I echo what has been said from the other committee members. We spent long days and hours working on this. It may not be an article of perfection, but in the area of compromise, I really support that we should move ahead with this, and if there has to be adjustments later on, at least we have a document to start from. Thank you.
Other discussion on the amended ordinance. Supervisor Wood.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering, in the compromise process, is there anything in this ordinance that does affect the electronic sign that is already present in our community?
Where's Charlie?
Mr. Handy. We could vote on whether we want to get an answer from Charlie or from Dave Lang.
Dave Lang.
Fine with me.
That sign was actually constructed prior to the drafting and the adoption, obviously, of this ordinance. So, no, there's nothing in this ordinance that has an effect on that sign other than it will become an existing nonconforming sign if this ordinance is adopted. And so they can maintain it as is for as long as they want in that process because of the investment that they've made there.
Okay. I'm thinking back to when we had a lot of citizens very concerned with the vibration and the resulting noise that reflected off the bluff from XL Energy. And during that time, XL Energy and the people affected worked very hard at correcting the issues that the residents brought up. Do you know if any kind of compromise between just citizens and the sign company has happened that would be like that, where a business wanted to be a good neighbor and the people living there finally the issue was resolved because XL did some tuning of the vibrations that came across?
Yeah, I understand your question. There was a limited amount of conversations within these meetings as we were drafting the ordinance where there was discussion about, you know, meetings or things that happened between the sign company that installed that sign and some residents. But I am not aware of any compromise that's been come to by those or anything like that. We just had some conversations about, you know, meetings or what conversations that went on between those residents and that sign company. So as far as a compromise, no, I'm not aware of any compromise that's been reached.
Thank you.
Other discussion on the amended ordinance? Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief here. I think everybody pretty much has their heels dug in on one side or the other on this issue. And a lot of good things have come out of this, and with the public hearing that we had up in Onalaska, we had 48 people give their opinions on it, supporting or encouraging a stronger ordinance. And I think, unfortunately, a couple individuals that spoke, Dick Granchelik and Mike Brown, that represents over 1,200 businesses with thousands of employees, kind of got minimized. A lot of good that came out of this. I'll be voting against this ordinance because the restrictiveness of this ordinance, I feel, is too great. When there's a county of La Crosse, when there's not one square foot in La Crosse County where another LED light will be put in, that's not regulations. That's pretty much eliminations. That's as far as LED billboards, as we know them. Not one spot in La Crosse County will be able to meet the criteria. I'm glad Charlie's still here, because correct me if I misspeak or anything. And this afternoon I was speaking with the family business, the Fuchsels, from La Crosse Signs that handle on-premise signs. And they said they have not been able to find a sign. They obviously can't research every sign they have. But the signs that they've pulled up to see, every one of them will be falling into non-compliant because of either size, lighting, height, setback from the roadway, setback from lot lines. So, in fact, what's going to happen is regulation is fine. And I believe there was a survey that came back that 80% of the people in La Crosse County supported some kind of regulation on outdoor advertising. I support regulation also. But this kind of regulations, where there's not one square foot in La Crosse County for an LED, or that'll put, as far as I can tell, or I've been told, just about every sign that is governed under this ordinance on-premise, non-conforming. So I that's all I've got to say about it. Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Did the Chamber of Commerce take a position on this? Other than speaking at the public hearing, did they survey their members or do something that we know of or didn't get to?
I'm not sure that it's the practice of the Chamber of Commerce to chime in on other ordinances that come before the county board either. I mean, they certainly were in attendance at meetings.
Well, they spoke at the public hearing.
Yep.
I mean, one person, I don't know if he surveyed 1,200 businesses or how many responded. And it always and people have brought up that Mr. Ferries was representing the sign company. Was he some kind of consultant? I thought he was a county board member with his own views on it. Well, I'd like some I've heard that said on numerous occasions that he was representing the sign companies. I think the accurate one, he was representing himself or his constituents or something else, would be more accurate, wouldn't it? Is that correct?
I think Mr. Ferries would be able to respond to that best.
No, La Crosse Signs or Olympus Signs, I didn't feel I was representing them. What I was feeling I was representing is the poor people, not the poor people, but the business community that's trying to draw them into their stores. Why are you going to buy shoes from me versus the other person, the people that uses the signs? Those are the people that I felt I was representing, not necessarily the couple of larger sign companies.
Is that a famous Supervisor Ebert?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had requested that this go to the Economic Development Committee. Did they come out with any statement at all?
Mr. O'Malley, you're vice chair of that, or Charlie, staff for it, sorry.
Yeah, the Economic Development Committee reviewed this, and they made a motion and approved the motion to accept and place the ordinance on file.
Which means so they didn't have any disagreement with it, particularly they thought it was a good ordinance?
I don't know that they took any position. They accepted it, they reviewed the concepts of it, and they placed it on file. But they didn't take a position to say we support this or we're opposed to it.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Burke, you're a member of the Economic Development Fund. Would you add anything to that?
I didn't think there was a great deal of discussion there. There was a question about why the ordinance was being brought to that committee. It seems that there may be others that deal with it. I think that generally there wasn't any disagreement voiced at the committee meeting. So I thought there was very little discussion really about specific things within the ordinance.
Thank you. Did that give you enough information? Any other discussion on the amended ordinance? Supervisor Pedretti.
You've heard from our committee quite a bit, so I won't go elaborately. I do want to say again that this was a very interesting process. I thought it was a very good process from my own standpoint. It was a lot of meetings, but I think it turned out for the best. It's a regulation that obviously neither side is perfectly happy with, somewhere in the middle, and that's probably a good thing. I did give a talk at the Chamber of Commerce leadership group last week, and it helped me reinforce that this process was a good process. We had input from a lot of people, and our staff did an amazing job. And there's going to be some tweaking. We all know that. Tina's not able to be here tonight. She had some health. But she would also support it, and I think she would feel comfortable in saying that as well. I would have just a thing about the non-conforming. I think that in the studying that I did, a lot of the signs that are out there are already non-conforming without this legislation. So I guess I wouldn't say that we're over-regulating that. We need to regulate it. It hasn't been regulated to the degree it should have been. And again, the Chamber of Congress, Dick Granchelik was there, and I spoke with him a little bit, and it sounded like they were supporting this regulations as well, and he stated the same thing. You know, it's not perfect. There'll be some things coming out of it, but we've got to start somewhere. I think those were his words. We have to start somewhere. And I think we have to remember this is for the outline. This is not for the city of La Crosse, not the city of Onalaska. It's not for the village. It's the outline. And some people say, you know, towns maybe don't want this. Then they can certainly pass their own. That is in their ball field to do. The town of Holland has a very strict sign regulation, and I'm happy with that. I would like the rest of the county, but obviously I have to represent more than just the town of Holland. So I would encourage members to support this ordinance. Thank you.
We'll be voting on the computer on the amended ordinance. Suddenly we have other hands in the air that weren't there a moment ago when I asked for additional debate. Supervisor Feehan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I This whole process seems to have begun with an electronic, an LED billboard, and that's a new technology, and it certainly seems reasonable that we would revisit ordinances that regulate those LED billboards. What I don't understand is how that became a reason to revisit the on-premise sign ordinances, and I'm in agreement with the statement that Supervisor Ferries made that virtually all on-premise signs in La Crosse County will now be non-conforming. Someone earlier asked, you know, what's the impact? Well, if those signs are damaged at more than 50%, then they won't be replaceable, and maybe that will be the time that people realize that the ordinance really has become quite restrictive. I think that one of the worst things about this ordinance is the unintended consequences, which is that it's going to force many of the local governments, and I've heard from about four or five of them, that will be passing their own ordinances because this is a tantamount to a ban on LED billboards in the county. And if those local townships want to allow an LED billboard, they certainly have the power to pass an ordinance that will allow that, and I think that we will be seeing that. The part that I think is unfortunate is that these signs represent economic development in our county. It spurs business that goes to these businesses that advertise either on on-premise or off-premise signs, and creates jobs. People have to service those signs. People sell the advertising on those signs. And so I think that it's unfortunate that we're taking a position that, in my view, is anti-business. So I will be voting against this ordinance.
Can I just see hands again of who else wants to be heard on this? Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you. I'm going to address a couple of these specific points that the other supervisors raised, but first I want to discuss a little bit of the history also. Just a little over a year ago, I learned, and many county board supervisors also first learned, that La Crosse County cannot prevent a billboard, even an electronic billboard, from being permitted on Highway 16 as well as other state and federal highways going through our towns. And our residents get little, if any, say or even notice in something that has a dramatic impact on the quality of their lives and on their property values. And I think that Supervisor Meyer was, really revealed something when he said that he got an email about this, but not as a PRD committee member. That as a PRD committee member, he didn't get anything. He didn't know about this. The PRD committee should have known about this. We also learned that county staff had been working with the towns and the sign companies on establishing standards for the last 3 years, as called for in the comprehensive plans of the county and towns, where people said they wanted better control of billboards and business signs, as well as growth that's consistent with their beautiful surroundings. Electronic signage was barely a part of the work that Mr. Handy's office had done over these 3 years, because electronic signage just really hadn't come up as an issue. There was 8 sentences in there and really a one-size-fits-all kind of solution for electronic signage. And that, Mr. Feehan, is part of how we got into a discussion about electronic signage as well as other signage. I'll skip over a lot of the history, but I do mention this background because I think that the most important landmark feature of the ordinance that we're voting on today tends to get lost in the details of talking about sign heights and square footage and the like, and that's that county regulation along most state and federal highways can now begin with this ordinance if it's passed. And this alone is an achievement for the PRD committee, and I believe it really is a valuable step forward for our county and towns. I want to quickly point out a couple of the other important features. I had thought about doing Supervisor Pedretti's top 10 like she did on a
on a resolution a couple months ago, but I'm only gonna do four. Number one, we'll still allow more billboards, but they'll be the smaller ones on most roads, separated further from each other. They'll have a better setback from homes, including homes in agricultural areas. Number two, we'll better regulate billboards along floodplain-sensitive areas. Number three, regarding electronic billboards, residents near a proposed billboard will be notified, as well as the supervisors and the town board, for any proposed sign. A study will be required to assess the impact of the proposed electronic billboards on traffic safety, the effect on neighborhoods, and on future planned development. And I just don't know where Mr. Ferry's statement is from, that there'll never be another spot where there can be an LED billboard, because we worked with the off-premise sign company to make an ordinance that would allow, under certain circumstances, an LED billboard, and they gave us some of the suggestions, such as the number of feet from a residential area. It was their suggestion that the signs be on only commercial property, and some of the other important features came from the off-premise sign company. So I'm not sure where that statement comes from, and I just question its accuracy. Number four, digital signage for businesses and institutions is a completely new area of regulation for us. New sign technologies can dramatically change the face of our county. We had give and take and a common goal to write an ordinance that works for businesses and other facilities, as well as for their surroundings and neighbors. And I think that what we have here is fair, and it includes an appeal process. There was a lot of debate, even in this room last month, about how long electronic images should hold steady before changing. And last month we settled on 8 seconds, but the PRD committee always moved forward to the most basic feature, that we can make digital signage more compatible with the surroundings if we have a requirement of holding electronic signs, images in fixed positions rather than allowing flashing, scrolling, or moving. As for Mr. Ferry's statement that all of the electronic signs will be non-compliant, I'm not sure how he figures that either. I just don't know how that sentence could be true. And always please bear in mind that when we set up to decide what the regulation pieces would be, we looked at what's fair for neighborhoods, what's fair for the public facilities district, and so forth. And it was our goal to have compatible signage, but it wasn't our goal to force electronic signs that are going to have a large impact on houses and neighbors, just because there is that technology to do that. So I thank everyone, including the residents and the sign companies, for their time, their hard work. The staff and the PRD committee navigated a complicated area conscientiously, line by line. The PRD reviewed each word of the ordinance, sometimes more than once, even several times, from the simplest definitions at the beginning to the very last words. And like all compromises, it doesn't leave everyone totally satisfied, but it does contain reasonable standards with due process that further our common goals as supervisors to guide our beautiful and prosperous county. And I think that what resulted will work well. There's definitely an economic advantage. Speaking of what Mr. Ebert asked about the economic development effects of this, people have an economic value in their homes that they own, and they want to see their home values continue. And the county needs to stay a county where we maximize our natural environment and our potential for tourism and for further commerce. there's a lot of economic value in that. So I urge you to support the work and the effort of the PRD committee and approve the ordinance. Thank you.
I have two speakers who wish to be heard for a second time. Anybody else for the first time? If not, Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for Corporation Counsel. I heard the word tweaking in the future. It'll probably come with on-premise signs. If we think one's okay, but it doesn't meet the criteria, do we give them a variance, or do we have to rewrite the entire ordinance?
You mean in the future for one particular sign?
Yes. It'll probably come for an on-premise one. Maybe some criteria it doesn't meet, but...
Well, you don't rewrite the whole ordinance. There is an appeal process, so...
And then they get something equivalent to a variance, then?
Similar.
Somewhere.
We haven't gone into detail on that. We said there'd be an appeal process under Chapter 68. So.
Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'll try to be brief. I guess there's two things I want to address, and both are from Supervisor Friedland. Under the accuracy of my statement, I'll refer to Charlie Handy. At this point, Mr. Handy, in the whole Lacrosse County, can tomorrow Olympus Sign go out and put up an electronic billboard? Is there a spot that they can put one up?
There are three locations in the county that have traffic numbers at about 20,000 average daily trips. So there's about three locations in the county.
And how do they meet with other zoning and situations like that, sir?
We have not reviewed any applications, so I can't answer that question, how they're going to meet those standards.
Okay. And under the other statement about, I made the remark about all signs on-premise will be in non-conformant. I didn't make anything of the such. What I said was what the signs that they've been pulling up trying to survey have not found any of them that would be in compliance. That's all I have.
All right, on the computer, on the amended sign ordinance, the only amendment at this point is the one that was introduced by Supervisor Pedretti that we approved a few minutes ago in Section 33.07, Parent 2, Parent B, that was in our packet. So on the amended sign ordinance, yes if you were in favor, no if you were opposed. The ordinance is approved on a 23-4 vote. Next agenda item is item 2-4. Back to you, Supervisor Meyer.
First of all, I want to thank everyone for voting to approve that. It's been a long drag.
I was hoping for a recess meeting myself, but
you were. We were between a rock and a hard place when we started, but one of the places softened a little bit, so. So we have item 2-5, conditional use permit number 848 by John Dietrich and Kirby Paps for Paps Engineering and Manufacturing, acting on behalf of Frank A. and Joyce M. Fogel for a modular anaerobic digester machine on 0.69 acre parcel south on N6281 County Road ZB and Land Zone Agriculture District A in the town of Unalaska. Now, there was a second reading of this particular, or the second hearing we had on this, because the first time they were here, they didn't quite have all the data. And Jeff was still here then, and he gave them a list of questions to answer, which they did sufficiently. And it was passed in committee unanimously with 19 conditions, and they're listed on your blue sheet. This was passed by the Town of Unalaska Town Board, their Planning Commission, and the PRD Committee. So I move for your approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Bina. Discussion. Supervisor Spiker.
Could I hear from the staff, please, what their recommendation was and why?
Mr. Handy. Did you hear Supervisor Spiker's question? Thank you.
The planning class, both at the town level and the county level.
Is that microphone on?
Sorry. The planning class, both at the town level and the county level in this location, is a residential planning class. So it was important to the staff that the committee know that they should take steps to ensure that their decision was consistent with that planning class. The staff recommended denial. The committee took the stance of approving with conditions to ensure that it was a temporary use. We talked with the landowner. One of the options for the landowner was to change the residential planning class. He actually wants to use it as residential in the future, so he wants it to remain as a residential planning class. So we offered the option of denying it, and the committee chose the option of approving with conditions to make it temporary.
Is that it for you, Supervisor Spiker? Other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously. Point of order from Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, well, point of parliamentary inquiry. We skipped past item 2.4 dealing with a temporary moratorium. It's on the agenda. Don't we have to dispose of it? I don't really want to belabor that, but it's on the agenda. I think it has to be dealt with in some fashion, tabled or whatever. I don't think you can just ignore it. I mean, if you want me to make motion table, I will, but what's the proper motion?
Well, how about we come back to that after 2.7?
That's fine, but I think you need to dispose of it.
Thank you. Back to you, Supervisor Meyer, on 2.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. 6, sorry.
Item 2-6, zoning petition number 1882 to amend the Cross County zoning ordinance filed by Harlan and Ingrid Roden for a petition to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A with the following described land continued residential use in the town of Farmington. This passed unanimously in the committee and with two conditions. I move for approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Manti. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 2-7, zoning petition number 1883 to amend the Cross County zoning ordinance filed by Terry and Susan L. Arntz for a petition to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A for the following described land to split the farmhouse and outbuildings from a productive farmland to a town of in the town of Washington. Was voted on unanimously in committee with two conditions. I move for approval.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Supervisor Bina. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
The next three on your list are item 2-8, 2-9, 2-10. These are all three for termination. I'd like to take them all together and move for approval on all three of them at once.
Is there any objection to considering items 2-8 through 2-8, 2-9, and 2-10 as one motion? Any objection to that? Go ahead, Supervisor Meyer.
Well, I move for your approval for termination on all three of the ones that Tara just called out, 8, 9, and 10.
Supervisor Meyer moves the committee report, which is includes approval of items 2-8, 2-9, and 2-10. Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Mock. Discussion on those three items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those are approved. Supervisor Mettinger.
Madam Chairperson, following up on the discussion of a minute ago, I moved to table item 2-4. Or is that the proper, what's it, Corporation Council?
I guess I would think maybe just move to withdraw from the agenda because it never was even presented through a committee. So just
okay. I just thought it's on the agenda. I make a motion to withdraw from the agenda.
Supervisor Mettinger moves to withdraw item 2-4 from the agenda, seconded by Supervisor Feehan. Discussion on that. Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I can split a hair with the best of them. I think in the note above, it takes care of it. It says if item 2.3 is not approved, then they'll consider 2.4. So it was approved, so I think by reverse logic, 2.4 would then not be considered. So I don't think we need to do anything. But, you know.
I agree with Sharon.
Oh, my goodness, people. There's a motion on the floor made by Supervisor Mettinger, seconded by Supervisor Feehan, to withdraw item 2-4 from the agenda. It's a motion in front of us. Can we please just dispose of this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The item is withdrawn from the agenda with the thanks of the chair. Public Works and Infrastructure, Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding approval of lease with Water Place One LLC, whereas since the mid-1980s, the South Bay Marina, which is located on the waterfront adjacent to the Park Plaza property, has been popular with many local boat owners and tourists who require a dock slip for their boats, and whereas Water Place One LLC is planning to operating on the South Bay Marina in 2012 with the boat operations running from June 1st, 2012 through November 30th, 2014, and they have asked to enter into a three-year lease with La Crosse County to enable them to lease boat slips for the boat season for these 3 years, and whereas La Crosse County is interested in marketing the Park Place Plaza property for sale during this time period, and now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board Chair is authorized to sign a lease agreement with Water Place One LLC upon approval of the Corporation Council for a three-year term to expire December 30th, 2014. Fiscal note, no cost to La Crosse County. The rent payment shall be deposited in Park Plaza property land rent account number 1146-55090. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burns, seconded by Supervisor Benrig. Discussion. Supervisor Cotter.
It just information. I presume that if it's being leased for 3 years, that it'll allow that it will not impinge on any potential development opportunities.
Mr. O'Malley and Mr. Wang.
That's correct. It's included in the whereas clause that describes the right to terminate the lease upon 60 days.
Thank you.
Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you. The beginning date is June 1 on this. Operations running from June 1, 2012 through November 30th of 2014. You're missing a lot of boating season in there.
Right. We just took it from the last agreement, and you know, which was from June 1st also, so that's why we left it at that.
Is that it for you, Supervisor Ferries? Supervisor Feehan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question goes to the arrangement for $75 per occupied boat slip. That seems like a pretty significant departure. If memory serves, didn't we lease this space to the company for about $10,000? I'm curious what mechanism is in place to determine when a slip is occupied, who will be responsible for that in La Crosse County government, and I question how that's going to be enforceable.
Mr. Handy, we'll start with you.
We have a very good relationship with Water Place One. What we have negotiated with them as far as the $75 per slip that's in the lease agreement before you is because they've had very significant trouble occupying those slips. And so their revenue stream obviously is significantly lower than when there was a lot more activity out there and a larger percentage of the slips were occupied. Last year it was less than 50% of the slips were occupied. And so that's the departure from the $10,000. As far as monitoring of that, we'll get a report from Water Place One, and that's my job to go out and take a look on a fairly regular basis. You're probably right. It's probably not going to be a real tight governance of that. It's going to be difficult for me to go, okay, there's seven boats out there today or whatever, but we trust Waterplace One to give us the reporting documents, and if we really want to, we can probably go take a look at their tax documents and figure out from that, from the reporting of the revenue of the leases, what the actual numbers are. So at some point we'll have to make a determination if that warrants the staff time to take a look at those type of documents.
Do we have an estimate as to what kind of rental income this arrangement will produce?
$75 per slip.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to. How many slips are at the? How many slips are there, and how does that? How do we estimate
income? There's 140 slips there.
Okay.
So if you take 50%, we'd end up with about $5,200. If they rent 50% or 70 slips, it'd be about $5,200. So if they were at 140, it would be $10,000. So,
what do we know based on how many slips they leased last year? Do we have some kind of estimate of income?
That's what we figured, about 50%.
About 50%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
What do these slips rent for?
We don't know.
I mean, do people pay $1,000, $2,000? What do they pay for these?
Well, there's different types of slips out there, and the different types of slips rent for a different amount. But it's about, I think it's about $100 a month. Does that sound right?
All right. We got an answer from Charlie. Maybe we can. Is that it for you, Supervisor Geary?
Yeah.
Supervisor Spiker.
I voted no on this. As chair of the committee, I didn't ask the right questions, I think. But I'm satisfied now with the figures I've checked with Jim and that, and it is about $5,200. It's the guesstimate. What kind of bothers me a little bit is the way it's put in the fiscal note. It doesn't show a figure of $5,200. Shows a figure of $10,000. And because I guess my biggest question, why wasn't this done in November when we did the budget for 2012?
Mr. O'Malley.
We didn't have a proposal from Waterplace One. In fact, until they approached us, we would have not had a lease with them. It would have ended as originally there.
When did the last one end? What date?
I'm pretty sure it's the end of October. The last lease ended the end of October.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, I think the board understands that this only is allows them to really use our parking lot, correct? I mean, that's really what this is about, the use of our parking lot. So based on how many people use our parking lot, which should probably be based on the number of slips that are filled with boats, that's how we're going to collect the revenue. So I think it's a fair agreement. It's not, you know, it's... I think Mr. O'Malley put it really well at our committee meeting that we really want to try to establish a good working relationship with this business. I think it's critical that we are allowed to, you know, keep a very positive working relationship. So I think this is a good for our county. And the amount seems rather insignificant compared to the benefits that we're going to get from this lease agreement. Thank you.
I have two speakers who wish to be heard for a second time. Anybody else for the first time? Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. The most important part of this agreement, from my perspective, is the whereas the Waterplace One agrees to pay rent, but then it goes on to say that they maintain the property, and that's worth quite a few dollars also, and it'll be very beneficial. Well, if I go too close to it, then I get feedback. But I get that anyway, don't I? Anyway.
The point I'm making is that it's an important entrance to the city of La Crosse, and it'll be very, very nice to see it well maintained, which it hasn't always been done in the recent years. Thank you.
Supervisor Ferries.
Pass.
So we're ready for the vote on item 2-11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Is that it for you, Mr. Burns?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Oh, good. Supervisor Burke,
thank you,
Executive
Madam.
Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 2-12 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding reauthorization of self-insurance. Whereas La Crosse County is a qualified political subdivision of the state of Wisconsin, and whereas the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act provided that employers covered by the act either insure their liability with workers' compensation insurance carriers authorized to do business in Wisconsin or to be exempted through self-insured from insuring liabilities with the carrier and thereby assuming the responsibility for its own workers' compensation risk and payment. And whereas the state and its political subdivisions may self-insure workers' compensation without a special order from the Department of Workforce Development if they agree to report faithfully all compensable injuries and agree to comply with the act and rules of the department, and whereas the executive committee at its February 8th meeting approved the continuation of the self-insured workers' compensation program in compliance with Wisconsin Administrative Code DWD 80.60, parent 3, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does ordain as follows to provide for the continuation of a self-insured workers' compensation program that is currently in effect and to authorizes the county clerk to forward certified copies of this resolution to the Workers' Compensation Division, Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Fiscal note, this is a periodic reauthorization of that program as required by the state. There is no fiscal impact to this resolution. The self-insured workers' compensation program has an estimated annual savings for La Crosse County of $544,597 per year since its inception in 1996. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Flood. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Item 2-13 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding increased hours of a health educator by 0.2 FTE, 7.5-hour week. Whereas the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention through the state of Wisconsin has authorized La Crosse County Health Department to receive $18,800 to cover a portion of the cost associated with assisting the La Crosse and Monroe County Health Departments to become nationally accredited local health departments. And whereas putting in place the policies and practices necessary to receive national accreditation helps assure La Crosse County Health Department is efficient and effective, and whereas an existing part-time health educator hours are needed to be increased to fulfill the requirements of this contract, and now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the Health Department to increase the hours of one existing health educator from 0.8 FTE to 1 FTE effective February 20th, 2012 until December 31st, 2012. Fiscal note, the total contract is $18,800, of which $10,073 is for salary and fringes, with the remaining balance to be used to meet contract objectives, including indirect expenses, $1,344, travel, training, etc. The staff change and contract work will not require county tax levy funding. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved.
Madam Chair, I voted against item 2.14 in committee. Should I?
It's up to you. If you can move it. Are you? Okay, we'll call on Supervisor Spiker from the Executive Committee, if you would, please. Unprepared as you were to do this. It's been moved by Supervisor Spiker that we consider item 2-14, which is first consideration of an ordinance to amend chapter 1 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, So Supervisor Spiker moves that it be considered for its first reading.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Did you want the floor back, Supervisor Burke?
Well, first of all, I'd like a little clarification because obviously the downsizing committee, which was the ad hoc committee designed to look at this particular issue, brought forward an ordinance that had had a major difference in the one that emerged from the executive committee. And at the executive committee, at the end of the meeting, I believe it was discussed, I think this was Supervisor Hampson, the co-chair of the downsizing committee, and directing her comment, I believe, toward the chair, that the other co-chair of the downsizing committee would be giving a summary of what that difference was. Am I correct there? Do you remember that?
I do not remember that, but it's very possible that it happened.
It was Supervisor Hampson that said Supervisor Burns would be giving that?
I don't remember.
Well, there were a number of other people at the committee, so meeting. Right at the very end when it talked about the fact that there would be...
Are you asking at this time for that to happen?
What I object to is the fact that it was stated at the meeting that that's what would happen, and then when I called Supervisor Burns on Monday, he had not been contacted about the fact that he would be expected to do so. And I talked to him about it, and so I'm just wondering, I know that was the discussion at the end of the meeting, and so is that the way it's going to be handled as far as bringing in what the recommendation was from the downsizing committee?
The ordinance that is before the county board is from the executive committee in the version that was in the packet. That piece I think we're all in agreement on. And I guess I'm not clear what you're asking for. If you're asking for Supervisor Burns to be heard to walk through what the committee did.
That was the discussion at the end of the...
And I'm saying I do not remember that discussion. There are other members of the executive committee here. If you want that to happen, it can certainly happen.
Okay. What I'd like to happen is that we certainly get the reason why the downsizing committee did not agree with it, and I think Supervisor Burns is prepared to make a comment about that, and I'm prepared to make several comments about the and make an amendment after his discussion of what the decision was of the ad hoc committee.
You're yielding the floor to Supervisor Burns so that he can be heard on this. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you know, the downsizing committee met several times to put together a proposal for this ordinance change. At our December 13th meeting, the downsizing committee voted to have the chairs of the five standing committees elected by the members of those respective committees. The motion passed on a 4-1 vote. Supervisors Burke, Ebert, Geary, and myself were in favor. Supervisor Hampson was opposed, and Supervisor Richmond and Cruz were excused. Although I cannot speak directly for the committee, I can summarize some of the reasons why the committee made this decision. And I'd like to yield the floor back to Supervisor Burke after my comments. Through our discussion at this meeting, it became very clear the downsizing committee wanted to achieve three goals. Number one, to get the best leaders possible to serve as chairs of our five standing committees. Number two, to give county board members a more direct say in who serves on the executive committee. And number three, to maximize the diversity of supervisors who serve on the executive committee. And I'm finished with my remarks, so I guess Supervisor Burke, I'll yield the floor back to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's an amendment to the ordinance. It should be on your desk. I move to amend the ordinance. It is section 1.47, parent 7, to read, to delete, the county board chair shall have the power to select the chairs of the standing committee. And to substitute, the chairs of the standing committee shall be elected by the members of those committees except where an alternate procedure is specified by state statutes or this code, the elected chairs must be county board supervisors. I move for its approval.
It's been moved by Supervisor Burke, seconded by Supervisor Fien. At this point, I'm going to pass the gavel. Normally, I would pass it to Supervisor Burke as first vice chair. Obviously, she wants to participate in the debate. It would then go to second vice chair. That would be Supervisor Billings, who is not here tonight. So I am passing the gavel to Supervisor Hampson and ask that you continue presiding over the debate on this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first of all, I need to apologize for the time that this came up the first time, which was in February 2010. The ordinance was brought to the Executive Board by Supervisor Ebert and about the procedure. And really, I feel it obviously did not come to the full board to discuss, and really didn't get much of a discussion at the Executive Board as well. And this is part of the reason why I feel that perhaps having the committee chairs selected by the committee will give more diversity and perhaps get a better discussion on some issues at the county at the executive board than occurs. Because at that time there was mention of particularly how other counties participate in this, and you have in your packet information about that. I felt afterwards that I should have done more study myself, which I did this time as a member of the downsizing committee, looking into exactly why other counties to a greater extent at a 2-to-1 margin prefer having their committees elect the chairs. I really think that this is an idea really to quote Victor Hugo, an ideal his time has come, because I think we strive for diversity of opinion, we strive for democracy, we talk about opportunity. We also talk about the fact that in other levels of government, the minority often does not get the kind of fair hearing that should be in those levels, whether it be state or federal government. I'm going to try to, since Supervisor Ebert obviously, Supervisor Burns obviously was not at the executive board. Obviously, the time of that makes it difficult for some people to attend. And so I'm going to look at some of the arguments given at that time. I understand, too, that a call may have been made to you about this issue. You will note that I called no one, because I expect you to come here tonight and have an open mind about what your vote is going to be on this particular issue and to listen to it. So I would hope that in that call, you weren't asked to give what your stand or position was on it at that time, not having heard the discussion and deliberation of the county board. A thing that we heard was, what about the fact that there is a possibility of 9 new board members? I've looked at the elections in those 9 areas. I don't think there's anyone who believes that there are going to be 9 new supervisors. Could it happen? Certainly. Even if it did, having the committee select its chair would be, they are certainly qualified enough to select the person who has the best skill set, the best knowledge and the experience with that committee. Perhaps 5 at the most, I would say, if I were a betting person, 5 or 6 new supervisors. If it's 5, obviously, and there are 5 standing committees, there could be 1 new supervisor on each committee. Second, I have to tell you that at the executive board, I heard no argument as to why the present system was a good system. And no substantial, you can look at the minutes of the meeting, as to why having the county board chair appoint the committee chairs was a more effective system, that one got a better result. A second thing that was said at the meeting was that it would be a popularity contest. You know, I really think in high school and middle school, maybe when we selected student council members, it might have been a popularity contest. But at this stage in our lives, most of us know how to make a decision. In this particular case, at the reorganization meeting in April, the committees would be formed, and keep in mind that the chair still gets to appoint the members of the committees. The county board chair still gets to appoint the members of the committee, and the members of the county board have that option of putting down, you know, what is important to them. And so I really don't think that people are going to let someone's glad-handing them and being friendly to them be the way that they make their decision. I mean, at this stage, if someone is overly friendly to you and you're in politics, you know they're asking you for something, they want something from you. That's my theory anyway. So you'd have an entire month to find out about the people who are on your committee. I have a hard time believing that there's anyone who's currently running for the board that isn't getting a lot of advice from people. And part of that advice has to do probably with these kinds of selections. Remember that the county board chair would still get the option of selecting the committee members. And this is about opportunity. At this time, it's your relationship with the chair that determines whether you have an opportunity to be the chair of a standing committee. That's the major criteria. You know, if the committee selects the chair, this is the chair that's going to work to represent that committee. And then on the executive board, that member will have no obligation to the chair for having achieved that position. The other argument I heard is it's the way it has always been done with this chair, previous chairs. This is, you know, it seems to work well. Well, it's interesting that the people making this decision about changing the ordinance are the very people who benefit from the ordinance the way it is. Because obviously there are six people of the nine, there can be nine on the executive board, six that are appointed by the chair, the one at large, and the five members of the standing committee. I think that that's just history to say this is the way it has always been. It says nothing about the effectiveness of something. I think all of us know things that have gone on for years that that doesn't make that the best way to do it. The other thing I had heard, not in the executive board, but in the downsizing committee, that the elections for committee chairs will be contentious. I tell you that in calling probably 60 of the counties, I took the time to make a personal call there so that I might get to speak to someone about why they do it a particular way and why that is advantageous, they find it advantageous. One of the things that was said is that most people do not want to be a chair of a committee. Perhaps half of the people in this room don't really have a desire to be a chair of a committee. And that committee members made the choice based upon in their own committees that they found that the committee members made the choice based upon the skill set of the people who are on their committee, the experience that they had, the knowledge of it, and the time that they might have to devote to that, because it does take a commitment of time, and that the committee made good decisions. I think that talking to the chair of Sauk County, Marty Kruger, really said it best in that he said, it depends on what you think about your role of the standing committees. you know, the recognition of their role, the recognition that they have a responsibility in the governing, in my experience, I've felt in the last few years the role of the committees has been diminished. And he talked about the fact that the committee structure, if it's relevant, and that gives them a say in that governance, that you're going to have better participation by that committee and by that committee chair. Remember, the county board chair still gets to select the members of the committee. This is about opportunity. This is about democracy. This is about diversity. The other argument was that the chair is the one capable of choosing the most knowledgeable and the strongest candidate. I would be naive if I thought that was always the reason for someone being chosen. It also suggests that only the chair is capable of doing that, that the individual committees, the committees dedicated to the oversight of a particular area, are not capable of making that decision. I think they are, because they have chosen that particular committee because of their interest, because and primarily that's probably the reason, at least that was my reason for choosing a particular area. By my calculation, 21 of the counties use the method of having the chair choose the chairs of the standing committee. 6 counties allow the county board chair along with some other conditions. That's why on some of those, if you look at that chart that you have in your material, you'll see that there are, it's on the right here at the end of the ordinance. You'll see of the 72 counties, there are some, and by my calculation, it was 6 counties allow the county board chair along with some other condition. Even those county boards feel that there should be some kind of check or balance on it. Some of it, the first and second vice chair went along with it. Some they had a committee that did so. When you take these 6 along with 45 who allow the committees to select, the percentage is 70.83. Over 70% do not want the decision left solely to the chair. I think you have to ask yourself why it is that large a number. Why do that many counties choose that method? You know, it's almost 2-1, and not quite two-thirds percent. But the thing is that that's a high mark. If you were presenting it to 72 counties and almost two-thirds, or to get two-thirds percent would be a high mark. So over that, in my estimation, allow the committees to elect. So what we currently have on the committee then are 6 people chosen by the chair, and very often a first and second vice chair that are like-minded with the chair. And what you don't get is a diversity of or a discussion. I can think of one topic particularly that came to the county, to the executive board, and that had to do with the right to purchase that property when we were looking at the property out by the landfill. And I just felt that it didn't get a proper vetting on the at the executive board. And it took some much discussion once it did get to this total committee to realize that there were some problems for some people with that particular issue. I think if we had a more diverse executive board, some topics might get more of a discussion and at least other points of view. I have one more point. Got that? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. What I'm trying to do here is to let you know that when you appoint an ad hoc committee that looks at an issue, and then within just a few minutes that gets changed at the executive board with very little substantive discussion. I don't think that's a good practice. I don't think that's the way we, you know, it's not the best. I would have, well, so the committee, as I said before, the chair still appoints the committee members. I think this is about democracy and opportunity. The fact is, not everyone has an opportunity to be chair, and we have some really qualified people with that. Opportunity is very important that people feel that they have that opportunity. Even if they don't get to be the chair, but that they feel that they have the qualities and the knowledge and have put in the time, and yet it's never going to be even an opportunity for them. Whereas having the chairs elected by the committee gives people opportunity, and that's what democracy is about. Democracy is not about power. It's about opportunity. And the having the chairs selected by the committee shows that the foundation that you have of the standing committees is very important. We understand that the leadership team of this county is not the chair, the first vice chair, the second vice chair. No. The leadership team is to be, as stated in the ordinance, the executive committee, the county board chair, and the entire county. That's the how it works. And when you fail to have that input into who's going to be on the executive board, that is a very large part of the structure. It really would give people a greater opportunity and feeling that they had some input into who is making that decision. Because what happens is the decisions come from the executive board, and there are a large number of people who feel that may have gotten kicked around a great deal at the executive board. And it's been my observation that it does not. As I said before, we want the committees to be relevant. The supervisors should feel they have input on the executive board in relationship to their committee. It empowers the committee. It makes them responsible for the success of their committee. And as I said before, remember that the chair still appoints the committee members. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Burke. I have four people on the list of who would like to speak, and I'm collecting them. Okay. We'll start with Roger Plesha.
Thank you. I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but as you know, I'm your historian. Anyway, Executive Committee was basically the old Finance Committee of old. At one time, all of our new committees, basically the committee structure was set up, 10-plus committees, and of which one was the Finance Committee. Well, now that's got a new name. It's called the Executive Committee. It was the Finance Committee. The chair delegated the membership of all the committees, which, with the exception of a few, basically University Extension, Highway, and Trustees, they were all nominated from the floor and voted on by the membership of the board. This is the way that it was done prior to the new way that we have it today. Well, I've sat under both situations where the chairs were picked basically by the chairman and the chairs were nominated from the floor of the committee. The only difference is the executive committee was the finance committee, and the membership of the finance committee was basically put together by the board chair. That's always been that way, and I haven't had a chance to call all the people who have elected behind them here. I plan on getting a few more, but I do know that they have a finance committee, and the finance committee is picked by the chair. That has been the way that that counties have operated for years. Now, the 70% doesn't take into consideration that some of those finance committees are actually nominated by the chair. The problem that we see is they may be able to pick their own chairman of that committee, but the committee structure is normally nominated by the county board chair. So I think we need to look at the picture just a little bit different than 70%. I know that there are a few that I have already gotten in contact with who do have a finance committee, and I plan on getting a hold of a few more that continue to do the business the way that we did as a county for years. We always had that finance committee, and it was always nominated by the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Plesha, Supervisor Fian.
I thank the chair. Well, I'd just like the record to show that the chair of the Democrat Party and the chair of the Republican Party are in complete agreement.
Democrat.
That may never happen again, but I'd like to thank Supervisor Burke for what was obviously a great deal of work in looking into this, and I agree. I think giving the committees the opportunity to elect their own chair is a positive step and will lead to more input, and I don't think there's anything more to say, but I support this.
Thank you. Supervisor Peduri.
Thank you. I'm just going to speak from personal experience. I have been in government for 20, 25 years. I've worked for a state rep, a governor, several congressmen, several senators. I work in the town of Holland before I got elected onto the county board. It's not that I wasn't new to government, but when I came here to the county board, I knew Jack from Jill. And to come in and your first committee meeting is to elect a chair, is I wouldn't want to do it. And that's my personal experience. I have been at meetings, and I think everybody in this room has been at meetings, where you have a chairman who can't run a meeting, and it's painful. I don't want to go through that, and I'm not saying that the committees can elect good chairs, but I wouldn't have known 4 years ago who to elect to be a chair. Who knows Robert's rules? Who knows parliamentary procedure? Who knows how to run a meeting effectively? And that's, I think, where we rely on our county board chair to look at that. I'm not understanding this diversity thing, and I don't get it, because we all have different viewpoints, and the chairperson, is the person who's just in charge of running the meeting, getting the meeting to the end where you need it to go, and to pass things and to send things onto the board. I'm not sure what this diversity is about. I do know that we had elected a chair at Farmland Preservation, and it was uncomfortable. And it didn't turn out bad, but it was uncomfortable. It's like I knew all these people on a personal level. I knew some people better because they were on county board, but who do you make a chair? And I would prefer not to have to do that as a new person coming in, even as I'll be, if somebody doesn't write in Mickey Mouse and beat me, I'll be on this again. I don't want to have to look at that and then feel uncomfortable with some of the weird things that can come with electing a chair from within. I respect the leadership, and I respect the leadership that's in place, and I would hope that everybody did, and that the leadership isn't out there for a power. It's just the leadership is there to lead. And so I would oppose changing this to amending this. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Meyer.
Chair. Supervisor Burke indicated that this was not discussed at executive meeting. Yet she took an awful lot of time describing exactly what was discussed. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, because that's basically a lot of those things were discussed. I was the one that brought up the amendment to leave it like it was, and I would stand by that. I've been here for four chairs. We've done it that way, and I'll say we've always done it that way. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm saying it's worked well the way it is. I can't think of a case, whether I liked or didn't like the county board chair, where it didn't work. As far as the new people, no disrespect to who's ever going to be new on the board, but they just don't know the system. They don't know the people on the committees they're going to be on. That's why I would object to having them vote on it. Yes, I have these paper in front of me that indicates what all the other counties did, how they do it, and this and that. And I believe my words at executive committee were that I really didn't care, because I was voting for what we want to do in La Crosse County. And as you look at these, you just don't know what some of the responsibilities are in the other counties. So I was sticking to what I thought should be done in La Crosse County. The President of the United States elects his own cabinet, selects his own cabinet. I realize they're political, but nevertheless, he does have the power to select his own cabinet. And I would like to stick with the county board chairman doing the same way and leaving it just like it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Supervisor Burke and Burns explained the rationale of the subcommittee and what they did. The significant point I think that we shouldn't overlook is 10 years ago, it was 50-50. Half the counties, from the survey we did 10 years ago, half of them appointed, half of them elected. Since that time, there's been a migration. Now we're down to a third of the counties having the county board chair appoint, and out of those thirds, some of those counties have elect part of their committees. The committees make recommendations and vote on major issues all the time. So, to me, they should also have the ability to elect their own chair. I think the time has come to say the chair appointing the committees is just too much micromanaging of the county board. We're all elected from our own districts. We all have similar sized districts. We should have some kind of equality. In the electoral process, we do. We're one out of 35, which is going to go to one out of 29. But I think the time has come to make this change.
Thank you. Supervisor Flood.
Thank you. I'm going to support this, vote for this amendment, and the reason is no lack of respect to Tara, for sure, okay? But in my mind, this particular way of doing things can lead to favoritism and politicking of the old sort, and could very well build, have a built-in bipartisanship, the chair and their committee chairs against, you know, people who oppose each other. That bothers me a lot. It's fearful to me that could happen. I also think that it's not a democratic system. And I look around and I say, well, you want a leadership team, you got a whole room full of leaders right here. And we all need to have a vote in what's going on here. So I don't think it's a democratic process, and I would like to see a more democratic process. And I do fear that if this keeps up, somewhere in the future, there's just going to be people who...
Excuse me, could you speak into your mic?
I'm sorry. If this Thanks. Keeps up with the appointing from the chair, somewhere there's going to be a chair that is going to use this to build a group of people who entrench their power and assist each other with their power. And I don't like that at all. That bothers me a lot. So I am going to support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Bina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't going to speak at all tonight, but this was an area that I am going to write up a critique on my 25 or 22 years on the county board, and I will be bringing it in. I started writing, and this is one of the areas that I have a little problem with. What we are seeing here under this current conditions is that the chairman appoints the chair to all committees. They are automatically on the executive committee. How can there be any disagreement? There, it looks to me like they are the chair's favorite, and so for therefore you get appointed chairs. There's no elected anymore. We threw two or three of those out now, even though the state law book says we should be electing some of those, but we passed an ordinance which we no longer do that. I guess there's a big difference between the administrative, having an administrator, and having a county board chair running the county government. And we did make that change, and that changed our system considerably, because now the administrator hires, fires, sets the budget, and that's what the board members used to do years ago from the Finance and Personnel Committee. And I guess I went along with that idea. We got Steve doing the work now, and if you got a problem with that, you have to talk to him about it. And I haven't talked to you too many times, Steve. So if the chair appoints committees, then the executive committee should be voted on by the entire board. It should not be a rubber stamp all the way up the line to the top with the same people, because you're never going to have many disagreements. And I heard the chair committee could be contentious. Well, is it? I don't know. I was on Human Services, and we elected our chair there. I was on Highway for 12 years, and we elected our chair there. Some people want to be the chair, and some people don't. And that varies all over the place. So, well, I would agree with Vicki on her proposal, and I better quit before I get excited.
Thank you, although we love it when you get excited. I do believe that the Human Services Board has never elected their chair. All right. Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. I think actually Mr. Bina kind of hit on a real point in relation to what I've been thinking too, is that in order to develop policy, you do need diversity. And what I have observed in my years on the county board, that there has been a significant amount of politicking which goes on to a degree in every organization, whether it's a political one or not. But it has become more and more obvious to me that by the chairs selecting, or at least by the county board chair selecting the chairs of the committees, that it has become narrower in its vision. The leadership has become narrower in its vision. Not that it's a bad vision, it's just that the debate isn't happening, as I say, from my observation anyway. And I think that at the city, the system is the one that Ms. Burke has proposed here, where the, in our case, it's the council president who appoints the committees, and the committees elect their chairs. Now, that doesn't mean that the council president can't have input into assisting the committees as to who they might appoint for their chairs. And we had a very significant turnover of membership in city council last election. And yet, the committees, by spreading out the number of new people across the board with the committees, there still is enough knowledge around to allow for those people to be able to identify a chair that can provide the leadership and the diversity that is needed in order for us to really represent the people that we are elected to represent. So I would encourage support of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Cotter. Supervisor Brockmiller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to say a couple of things. I don't have quite the tenure that some of the learned members of the board here do. I've been here 4 years, all my 4 years have been served on the Health and Human Services Committee. And some people use the word scare and whatnot. What scares me is a committee that controls, what is it, a third, a fourth of the levy, something like that. It's a huge amount of the levy would be left to someone off the street that had never known that's scary and irresponsible, really. I've been on that committee for 4 years, and I think I'm a good committee member. I don't know, maybe others don't, but I still would never imagine running that committee, and I don't think anyone who is honest with themselves would, without multiple years of experience. And to think that would be thrown to some kind of popularity contest, because that's what we like to say it won't, but when you get down to the smaller the group electing, the more there's going to be popularity contests and getting beers after meetings and all sorts of stuff. I mean, when you don't have to influence 35 and you only have to influence 6, it's going to be a lot easier and a lot more handshaking. The other thing, someone says, we elect part of the executive board. Well, I don't know, I've been here 4 years, but we vote for the county board chair, we vote for the first vice chair, and we vote for the second vice chair. If you don't like the way the county board's running, don't vote for a different person for chair. This is really kind of people who don't like elections for the chair just trying to backdoor a little bit of influence. Run for chair and get voted in. We vote for part of the executive board. So it's really kind of sad. But anyhow, in addition, I've seen a lot of diverse discussion, and as Marilyn Pedretti, Supervisor Pedretti, said, the chairpersonship is about being able to effectively run in a meeting, organize an agenda, and follow an agenda. I don't think there's any committee chair here that would say that the meetings or the issues always come out the way they want them to, and they shouldn't, and that's what it's about. Somehow it seems to be inferred here that the committee chair suddenly gets all the issues to come out exactly the way they want it to, and that doesn't happen at all. In fact, I'm chair of an ad hoc committee, but they haven't always went my way in my committee. So, and that's the nature. That's what democracy is. Democracy is not backroom deals and little handshake sidebar agreements. Thanks.
I have 3. Supervisor Burns is next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to address a couple of things that were said. Supervisor Pedretti's comment, I believe, at first glance, it seems somewhat compelling to think that a new supervisor or an existing supervisor would have a difficult time making the decision on who to select as a chair. But I also think that if somebody's running for county board, they are running to provide leadership to the county. They are willing to lead. They are willing to make decisions. They are willing to make difficult decisions. I think all of us, if we didn't want to lead, we would not be here. And so I think it's a little bit of an overstatement to think that it's going to be difficult to make a decision on who the chair is going to be. I mean, those new supervisors are going to have to decide who the county board chair is and who the first vice chair is and who the second vice chair is. So they're going to have to make these decisions anyway. I think that's a little bit of an overstatement. Supervisor Brockmiller brought up the fact that you could have somebody unqualified for a standing committee. With all due respect, I disagree. I trust that the committee is going to make an informed decision. When I decide who I'm going to vote for our leadership positions, I get information. I seek information, and I make what I hope is an educated decision. So I trust everyone in here. I trust that you'll make a good decision. And then finally, I think we're kind of missing out on Supervisor Burke's, I think, compelling argument that we ultimately, it's hard. It's hard to break status quo. It's hard to break long-standing traditions. It is difficult. But I really believe what Supervisor Burke's vision here is that this will ultimately lead to a more democratic and effective county board. So I really would strongly encourage all of you to consider this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Friedland.
My only comment is that I really appreciate all of this discussion tonight at the first reading with an amendment being made tonight rather than at the second reading, because I appreciate the opportunity to think about all of this through the month and to hear all this. I think it's really helpful for us to do this at the first reading rather than the second reading. Seems like a couple years ago, County Chair Doyle recommended that we have these kind of discussions at the first reading, and and then that kind of fell away. So I think this is really helpful, and I appreciate everybody who's speaking out tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't do any surveys or anything. I speak right from my heart. And I served 26 years on this county board. I served 22 of them as chair of a committee. I served with Democrats and Republicans, independents. I got kicked off committees because they said I didn't do my homework. Well, every supervisor knew in here at the time that wasn't true. But that same chairman had enough guts to come to me and apologize and point me to another chair. But the idea is, well, I try to treat my committees as equals, as they are. They're equals. And the committee right now that I chair can say that all, I think, would back me on that. And because we have a different disagreement right now with my vice chair on standings on this. But I respect him for that, and I respect everybody speaking up in that. But the idea is that as a county board chair, you got to work with the county board committee chairs. And I think I worked under two systems. I worked under the first system that hardly anybody remembers, and the second system we got, which I thought was outstanding, having your chair of your standing committees appointed by the county board chair, and of each one of your standing committees have representatives there to know what's going on, to report to the executive committee. I had to worry at one time that everybody would protect everybody's neighborhood, but that didn't work out that way. It's a good system. If it changes, it changes. I don't plan on serving on another chairmanship, even if I get appointed to it. So I have nothing to lose or to gain by what I'm saying now, but I speak from the heart that this system is a good system, and I'm not saying the other county boards weren't bad systems, but I think Mrs. Hansen at one time says La Crosse County is not just one of the counties. It's a leader of the counties, and it's a leader of the county because of the system that they have. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will keep it brief because many of you have expressed very eloquently reasons on both sides. My philosophy is if it isn't broke, don't fix it. I think we work very well in La Crosse County. I think we have an excellent committee structure. I think we have a very well-running county. I have been to enough meetings of state counties to know that I don't necessarily want to emulate them. I think we are much better run than a lot of the other counties that I hear about when I talk with other county supervisors. No offense to Supervisor Cotter, but I certainly don't want us to pattern ourselves after the city committees. So that is not an endorsement. I think if we don't like what the chair is doing, then we can change the chair, and that chair will appoint other committee chairpersons. So I think our system works well, and I will be voting against this amendment.
Thank you. Supervisor Bainard.
Thank you. I've been on the board 24 years. I've went through three chairs, and I came up with why fix something that has worked all these years. I'm not in favor of this change, and I agree with Mr. Spiker. Thank you.
And finally, Supervisor Tara Johnson.
Thank you. I can't expect to be as brief as Supervisor Benrud, and I passed the gavel intentionally because this is a matter of great importance to me, as you might gather. But I want to try very hard to not make this about the current chair, and I thank all of you for having set the example for me tonight in the debate so far. But I really, the primary question that I still am trying to understand the answer to is, why is this coming now? And to understand what the motivation is behind it. And I want, more than anything, to believe that it is about democracy. And I want to believe that it is about opportunity. And I think that some of us in this room want that same thing and believe that this is about democracy and opportunity. And I have to say, I remain skeptical about that. Supervisor Ebert, by his own admission, would say that his proposal, when this came up, whenever it was, went nowhere, and it went nowhere fast, I think was how he described it to me. It came before the executive committee, and it never made it to the full county board. On that executive committee, the day that this came to our meeting, Supervisors Doyle and then Veenstra were both excused and absent. But Supervisors Johnson, me, Meyer, Richmond, I believe at that time, Burke, Plesha, Hampson, and Spiker all voted against it. And we haven't heard anything about it since then, until the county board chair seat became vacant and there was a contested race for that position. And then this became an issue again. And it is coming up now because of our look at Chapter 1. And it, I mean, this is where it belongs. But this has not been a burning issue for this board. And it hasn't been a burning issue for a long time. And so that's, quite frankly, what makes me skeptical about why it is that we are discussing this issue now. I believe that the diversity of the executive committee should be broadened as well. And I believe that I have been consistent in saying that. And I have said that to County Board Chairman Doyle when he served in the position, that I encouraged him several times, not always successfully, encouraged him to diversify the executive committee, to think about bringing in folks from a different point of view onto the executive committee. Sometimes I was successful, not always. But I think that I have been on the record as supporting the notion of diversity, and I think I've used the term inclusiveness instead, because when you look at this room, we aren't a very diverse group. So the term diversity to me doesn't necessarily ring true when we're talking at least about the current Board of Supervisors. But instead, the term inclusive is what I have been using. And it is primarily a political, you know, inclusiveness of varying political points of view. And I think that, I hope that you remember that I have been an advocate for that. To that point about whether or not we need to diversify or be more inclusive in the executive committee, I strongly support that notion. I have been saying it for a long time. And to that end, when I was elected to the chair, I want to share with you three examples of how I believe I have demonstrated an ability and a willingness to be inclusive, even under the current ordinance. And so my point in this is that it doesn't take a change in the ordinance to accomplish inclusiveness in executive committee. And having the ordinance won't guarantee that the executive committee will be any more diverse than it is right now. Three quick examples. When I was elected in July, and the changeover in leadership, all those elections were completed, I encouraged Supervisor Burke to stay on as chair of Judiciary and Law Committee. That wasn't something that had to be done. Clearly, she and I ran against each other for county board chair. I think you can, you know, it's not a stretch to make the argument that that was being, she was going to sit there as first vice chair, but to encourage her to stay on as chair of the committee was very intentionally, on my part, an attempt to say to her, even as she was my opponent in the county board chair race, I think you should stay on as chair. You do a good job in that position, and I would like for you to stay. So that's my first example. Secondly, when the downsizing work group was formed, I asked for two co-chairs. And Supervisors Hampson and Burns share the same geography in this room. I don't know that they always share the same geography on the vote tally sheet. I think there's quite a bit of diversity or inclusiveness there. So I intentionally, again, asked for two co-chairs so that there was a diverse set of opinions represented in the leadership of that group. And then when the committee was formed, I took all comers. Everybody who asked to serve was placed on that work group. And just listen to these names, the roster of that committee: Richmond, Cruz, Geary, Ebert, Burke, Hampson, and Burns. Not exactly a bunch of people in my camp. That group, I appreciate very much what you have done, and you spent a great deal of additional time working on this, but I have to say that I cannot support this one portion of your recommendations because I just don't, I don't agree with it. And I believe that the membership of that work group is another example, and the leadership of that work group is another example where, under our current ordinance, the county board chair was able to be inclusive in the work that we do. And then, as recently as December, when Steve Doyle resigned from the executive committee, I tried my best to expand the spectrum of opinions on the executive committee. And I reached out to Supervisor Ebert, and I asked him to serve on the executive committee. And unfortunately, he declined the invitation. I apologize if you feel that I've put you on the spot, but I think you're not surprised by that, Supervisor Ebert. But again, here's an example where clearly I am trying to be more inclusive as the current chair, and I'm doing it under the current constructs of the ordinance that we have. It does not require an ordinance change to accomplish that. And as I said earlier, I don't think it guarantees, because you vote, each of five committees is going to vote for a chair. We have no way of knowing how diverse or inclusive those five individuals will be. So it's not, changing this ordinance in this way does not guarantee that we will have a more inclusive executive committee. I'm skipping through some of my notes here because I really don't want to repeat what others have said, but I do want to end on this note that I believe we need committee chairs who are leaders. And I think you're right, Supervisor Burns. We are a room full of leaders. But the reality is that we need competent committee chairs who are able to conduct effective meetings and attend agenda prep meetings and be prepared and well-versed in the business that will come before their committees. And we need to do a better job of developing leaders on this board who will, in the future, serve as part of the leadership team. And I believe that county board, that committee chairs who look at the county's best interest in its entirety are the and serve on the executive committee will do that. And I believe that when the county board chair appoints the individuals that they can hold accountable to the standards that are very high, that have been set by asking that person to serve as a committee chair, then we have an important piece of this equation, which is that accountability. Committee chairs who are elected simply need to win on one vote. And in some cases, now that we have committees that are only five members large, that means you have to find two people who will vote for you. Am I implying that we'll do a terrible job if we vote for committee chairs? Absolutely not. That is not my point. I believe, though, that if we want accountability in how committee chairs do their work, if we want to ensure that there is inclusiveness, then the chair appointing them gives us that accountability because we all have that expectation and we have said it out loud. And if we elect a county board chair who is not willing to name an inclusive executive committee, we serve two-year terms. They can be shortened. And it is imperative that the executive committee is part of, as several of you have already said, a leadership team of the county. And I believe that the county board chair, whether it's me or somebody else who holds this position, needs to be able to identify, select, and set expectations that they can hold people accountable to as committee chairs and as the makeup of the executive committee. And I believe that firmly. And I wish that this wedge issue was not being brought before us right now. And I believe that that's what this is. And I hope that you will vote with me against this amendment.
Thank you. Supervisor Mettinger. No, it's you.
Thank you. I I think we've been on this about an hour now, and it's been an excellent debate. I think everybody's
55 minutes.
Everybody's got their mind made up, and I call the question.
So a motion to call the question and seconded by, who said that? Supervisor Meyer. All those in favor of calling the question or closing debate signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And the noes are Supervisors Burns, Flood, Burke, Geary, Friedland, Ferries, and Ebert. The
is that three quarters?
Two-thirds.
So did you count those?
That requires a two-thirds vote, so somebody quick,
your math.
Do math. Huh? Oh, okay. But we're down a whole bunch of people. How many people are still here? 25. 25.
Two-thirds of 25 is 17.
Okay, so two-thirds of 25 is 17. How many no's did I tell you? 25 minus 17. I tell you, I didn't do math.
Is that two-thirds? Did we get 17? 25. 25. See, I can't even.
18 yes.
18 yes. Okay, we had 18 yes, and that does meet the two-thirds. So,
Madam Chairman, I have a point of
closed.
I'm not sure what kind of point it is, but I think that it is unfair that the chair was allowed and that there were comments by another supervisor related to some information that I presented that I had raised my hand and asked for a second time to speak on that, and it seems to me that it would be only fair that I would have an opportunity to answer when someone says that they're skeptical of my motives.
I called on everyone that wanted to speak for one time, and then this motion to close debate came up. If someone else wants to speak, we need to reconsider that motion to close debate. Is there someone who would like to reconsider that? Supervisor Fian has moved that we reconsider the closing of debate, seconded by Maureen Friedland. Discussion on that? Or we don't do discussion on that, do we? Okay. All in favor of reversing that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
No.
Oh, crap. Do that on the computer. Oh, okay.
Restate the motion. Restate the motion. So everybody knows what they're... Yeah.
I'll do it.
Okay, so to restate the motion, you are voting to continue debate. So if you want to continue to debate, you would vote yes. If you want debate to remain closed, you would vote no.
What I see on the screen is that the motion is to reconsider closing debate. So a yes means you want to keep debating. A no vote means that you want to keep it closed.
Bev Mock and Ralph Geary, I still need your votes.
The vote to continue debating was 16-8. So I will return to my list and ask first if there's any other person that would like to speak for the first time. In that case, I'll then call on Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, when we talk about a situation like this, we are supposed to talk about the position of chair and the position of chairs on the committees. And in my discussion, I said nothing that would personally malign someone else. And yet, I felt that that happened with two supervisors. First of all, if Supervisor Plesha called some counties that have finance chairs, perhaps specifically those counties' names, and whether or not that finance chair was a standing committee. I can't understand that I would call a county and be told the standing committees were, the chairs were elected, and then to have someone suggest that was not true, and that they had a finance committee. I don't even understand why having a finance committee makes any difference. They used to have an administrative committee here as well. So they had an administrative and a finance committee. So, you know, I don't get where that has anything to do with whether or not the committee. The other thing is the current chair spoke specifically about being skeptical of motives. The only motive I have is this, that when this came before the executive committee in February of 2010, we gave short shrift to it. It didn't get any hearing at all. And quite frankly, I think that that is not respectful of the minority opinion. The reason why I don't like the way this group used tabling is because it doesn't respect that element of discussion. I think that the members of the executive committee are fine people. But sometimes I don't feel that there's any challenging of the information that's presented. And I think that you have to have a challenge at that level as well. And so I have no ulterior motive. I have no desire to run for county board chair. End of discussion. If you think that somehow that that's part of the motive that I have. That is not in my plan. My concern is about having greater discussion at the executive board level, more diversity. The chair talks in terms of her being chair. You know, that isn't what this is about. This is about whether the process, and this, you know, the process is a good process or not. And whether or not it creates the diversity, the process, not who is chair, but whether the process itself is amenable to having that diversity. So, that is irrelevant to the discussion about what this particular chair determines she will do. That's irrelevant. You know, I have no intention of running for county board chair. I may seek the position of first vice chair that I have, but I have no intention of seeking the county board chair. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Feehan points out that we are diametrically opposed in many of the ideas that we have. And I hear people on this board and at other levels give lip service to reaching across the aisle. And I tell you that this is not just lip service for me. It's something that I strongly believe in, and that in studying it and calling those other counties, I came to the conclusion that the process used, this would be a stronger process than the current process. And to impugn my motives is something that gets my Irish up. And when that happens, it's not a good thing.
So that is the only motive that I have, is that I have served on the executive board since 2004. I have been a committee chair. I have firsthand knowledge of what happens, and I think the process would be stronger if the committees elected their own chair, because the committee structure and that particular system needs to be strengthened. And if that person is elected to the executive board, has, you know, this idea that in the committee somehow they're going to select someone that is not qualified, is not knowledgeable, is not a skill, doesn't have the skill set. Well, you know, I'm an educator. We're all able to learn what needs to be learned. And it is not rocket science. And this is about opportunity, and to impugn my motives is I think, something that is irresponsible.
Thank you. Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee that looked at this didn't have any sinister motives. Look at the history of La Crosse County and every other county. The county board chairperson, by and large, is in there for quite a few years. You look back at La Crosse County, Steve, 10, I don't know how many, Isham was 20. It's similar around the state. Why did it come in at this time? There's only certain periods of time we have an opportunity to make a change like this. You're not going to change it if you've got a sitting county board chairman that's been sitting up there for 5 or 10 years. It's not going to happen. It happens when opportunities arise. We're redoing the ordinances, and the chair position vacated recently. So around the state, out of the ones that still do it this way, their opportunity will come when that chair no longer runs or deceased or whatever. There are very few opportunities to make this change, because the county board chair is the one that's going to put you on your committee. So if you talk to the people that are under the elected or the appointed ones probably will tell you off the record that they prefer it the other way, but they're not going to be bringing in that resolution. But there was no sinister motives out of the committee. It was just coincidental that chair position vacated and the we were redoing the ordinances.
Point of information.
Mr. Geary, are you finished? Thank you. Yes.
So debate is wide open again?
Yes, it is.
It's not just to respond to a point of personal privilege?
No, it's open, wide open. Yeah, just step right in there. Supervisor Johnson.
Yeah, I really don't want to prolong the debate, but, you know, now I feel like my character has been assassinated, so I feel like I have to respond. My intent was not to impugn anyone in this room. It was to raise the question and point out historical facts, which are this came before us, the executive committee that was in place in 2010, and it went nowhere, including the votes of the supervisors that I mentioned who were committee chairs at that time. And it has gone nowhere until July of this year. I'm stating points of history is all. And I agree 100% with Supervisor Burke that this is a matter of process, and the process is important. And my point in clarifying or giving the three examples that I did about the 6 months that the current chair has held that position is to point out that inclusiveness, diversity, whatever term you want to give to it, can be accomplished under the current ordinance, and that it does not, changing the ordinance does not guarantee, does not assure us that there will be more inclusiveness or more diversity on the executive committee. That was my only point in raising those issues.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Going once, twice. Okay, debate is closed. Now you are to vote on the amendment And the amendment is to change this part of the of Chapter 1 to say the chairs of the standing committees shall be elected by the members of those committees. So if that's what you favor, you vote yes. If you do not favor that, you vote no. On the computer. Excuse me, Ginny, this isn't showing up on everyone's screen. And the amendment has failed, 11 to 14. Now, we need to continue with the ordinance change on Chapter 1. Is there anyone who'd like to discuss any other part of the Chapter 1 changes? Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed in the new one that we've gone to the administrator being an indefinite. It was 2 years, and I certainly understand maybe that 4 years, I know it was done by resolution. I'm just wondering if... As I understand it, then he could get an 8, or he or she could get in a 6, 8, 10, 12, 14-year contract. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and I just think that's a very poor, I would think. In fact, I'd like to make a, I'll wait until next week, but I'll probably amend to go to a 4-year. I think that's more than enough for anything. I just think that's a pretty, you know, giving that, that's
okay.
A lot of room. So, but
okay.
I'll do that at the next week. We can do amendments at the next thing,
sure.
Correct? Thank you.
I only wanted to comment that I'm always at will under state law, so indefinite seems to describe my term. Even though I do have a 4-year agreement, my position by state law can't be changed from an at will position. A majority vote at a properly posted meeting terminates an administrator under county statutes. So it just seemed to be clear that regardless of your contractual or agreement with whoever is the incumbent, my position is always at will. Indefinite seems to be the clearest description of that, but you know, it was just trying to clean up some administrative stuff. So, however you want to deal with it, that was my position.
Yeah,
so.
My only thing with that is there's normally in the contracts for administrators there's a golden parachute, and I think at some time it should be limited so that at a given time that position would be terminated without the golden parachute. That would be my reason.
With due respect, let me just clarify. There's a severance clause in the contract that's a 6-month severance clause, which for a 9-year employee I think is a pretty minimal. But I'm always at will in my current position, and state law establishes that. That's not just the agreement that we have.
So in this case, it would be a lead parachute.
Anytime we want to reopen that provision, you can certainly. Thank you.
Are there any other supervisors that wish to discuss any other element of the changes to Chapter 1? Supervisor Mock.
I have a question about why the pages are not numbered or anything.
Just go ahead and tell us what it is.
It's 131 Zoning and Planning. Has been Zoning and Planning and Land Information Director, and now I believe it's going to be Zoning and Planning Administrator. I just wondered why the land information area was taken out.
Who has an answer for that?
I do.
Mr. O'Malley.
This was on the advice of working with our personnel department. When re-advertising the position, we've changed the job description a little bit, primarily that the land information responsibility is really more of a subset of the position than of the overall. Perhaps we could have used a different title, but the history was that Mr. Blusky had kind of grown up as the land information director and added these other duties on, and the position that we really need the responsibility for is a manager or administrator of an area, primarily in planning and zoning. Land information really is primarily done by a mid-level position in that department, but Jeff had kind of grown up with that. And this is a more clear reflection of what the market would look for. And so, again, we saw it as a administrative change while we're trying to recruit somebody that is not going to have all three of those areas, and we're trying to hire somebody that has zoning and planning more than the other because the existing department can handle the land.
I guess I do remember. I believe it was Jeff who told us that that area was not anything that he discovered kind of looking around at other, or maybe you yourself told us that at our planning, and one of them, I've heard some of this before, but I just looked at that and just wondered why it was taken out totally.
And if I might just remind everyone, when we get applications back from the personnel department, I'll be involving committee members and board members in that interview and selection process, not just bringing you a name, just as we do with other departments that are, you know, substantial size departments.
Anyone else wishing to speak on the Chapter 1 changes? I can't believe it. All right. So let's vote on the computer. What? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, God, now I want to vote. Okay, so what are we doing? We're just done? Okay.
Let's have a round of applause for Supervisor Hampson for cheering. Item, is that it for you, Supervisor Burke? That's the last for Executive Committee? Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Judiciary and Law Committee, item 2-15, Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you. A resolution for the approval of EPCRA Computer and Hazmat Response Equipment Grant for 2012. Whereas the State of Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, Wisconsin Emergency Management has provided grant awards to the La Crosse County for a number of years that are used to defray county expenses in providing emergency management services, and whereas the grant applications to Wisconsin Emergency Management require the applicant to certify that a resolution, motion, or similar action has been duly adopted or passed as an official act of the applicant's governing body agreeing to comply with the grant requirements and use of the emergency planning grant funds, and that an official representative of the applicant is identified to act in connection with the grant and provide such additional information as may be required, and whereas in 2012, Wisconsin Emergency Management grants in the amount of $6,544.41 are available, and whereas the EPRA Computer and Hazmat Response Equipment Grant is available for purchasing computer equipment and hazardous material response equipment to be used for local Level B hazmat teams, and whereas acceptance of the above grants does not require hiring new county staff or the expenditure of any non-budgeted items, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby grant application and acceptance of the above grant awards for 2012. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair or County Administrator is designated as the official representative of La Crosse County to act in connection with such grants, and that La Crosse Board Chair or County Administrator authorized to sign any documents required. Fiscal note, matching funds required for the grant are included in the 2012 budget. That's enough. That's enough.
Are you moving?
Oh, yeah, I move for its approval, yeah.
Moved by Supervisor Friedland, seconded by Supervisor Richmond. Discussion on the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Is that it for you, Supervisor Friedland? Thank you. I just want to go back to Chapter 1 for a minute. I think Supervisor Ebert has clearly put us all on notice, as it were, that there may be an amendment coming. I want to make sure that I say up front that next month I will be ruling that that is not a major change, so that we will still be able to vote next month as its second reading, unless there's something else that comes along, which I'm not expecting, since Supervisor Hampson, when she sat in the chair, gave us ample opportunity to identify those issues. So we will. The intent is that we will be voting on Chapter 1 next month for its second reading and passage. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Any suggestions for future agenda items? Supervisor Ebert.
Madam Chair, I believe Supervisor Sobranek had requested a committee be formed, and is that something you want to bring up now, or would you just do that on your own? Because I think we certainly should respect his wishes.
Yeah, so Supervisor Sobranek, if he were here, I believe would have asked, as Supervisor Ebert has indicated, for the chair to convene a work group to look at the issues of expenses and the, he referred to it as per diem. I don't think we necessarily have that, but the expenses that are allowable for county board supervisors for conferences and travel and so forth. And I think he specifically asked for the county clerk to be on that committee. So if you are interested in serving on that committee and reviewing what the ordinance currently says and potentially proposing changes to that, would you please let me know? We will be forming that work group. Thank you for the reminder. Any other future agenda items? If not, Supervisor Benrud.
Point to ponder. Now listen very closely. Jerry's condition has changed. He has taken a turn for the nurse. Not the worst. Move to adjourn.
Moved by Supervisor Benrud, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you.